Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Ed.
Ed, how are you?
Hey. I'm excellent. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Good.
Hello.
Who's that? Oh.
Ken. Yep.
All right.
And Chris.
Oh, all right, good. So we're all here.
Oh, Rob's there. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Ken. Very, and you're all early. That's great. So, how is Supernova and your marketing effort?
It's, well, I just got back. I've been gone for a few weeks, but literally back today. I do have, I've got a number of things coming up relative to the marketing. And, you know, that's something that I would like to, you know, maybe talk about today. So with, you know, with regard to marketing and networking and that sort of thing, it's really, you know, I've been having a lot of luck with it, I guess. And one of the things, I'm involved with a couple of boards. And within one of the boards, I'm on a committee, and we're actually really organizing the entire community for the restoration, or not restoration, I'm sorry, the preservation of a church, a historic church that's going on to the market for, you know, to be used as a home or whatever. But besides that, I just kind of cracked the code with another board, and I've been invited to for the hospital, the local hospital board, and I met with their board twice now, and they're looking for my participation in helping their potential donors with financial planning to, you know, to build in planned giving into that, so you could put what-ifs into financial plans as to whether or not you could afford to give $50,000 a year or whatever. And the first, I guess, event for that is, and I've been invited to it, is Friday, this coming Friday. And I'd like to, if we can talk about it a little bit today, talk about that, because this event is, it's just a two-hour, cocktail hour, or wine and cheese, something like that, at a vineyard here. And it's to thank, it's a thank you for their major donors. And, you know, I'm not a major donor. I've just been attending these two meetings. And so I was wondering how I might introduce myself when I'm talking to people at this event on Friday. It's only a two-hour event, pretty, you know, it's like 5 to 7, it'll be over. And I'm not even a board member yet, but I've been invited, and I know what my, you know, what my role is, what, why they're inviting me. So I was wondering what your thoughts are about that.
Well, I think one of the best things you can do is to tell stories, Ed. My suggestion would be that you are you're a storyteller about people that and where you give good examples of people that have gained a great deal of satisfaction from giving to charities that they really believe in. And then what are the various avenues that are available to do that? And then, you know, you don't even have to say how you fit in. You just say, you know, that you're an expert in planned giving.
Okay. I was thinking about something like that.
No, you're
I have no idea what the event.
You're just cocktail talk, right? It's not a speech or anything.
Yeah. No, exactly. I'm not speaking. Nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah. So now you're just meeting, greeting. All right. So the game is in a setting like that. Your purpose is the first part of what we talk about in marketing. The first thing you do is affiliate. So that basically is what are all the different ways that you're the same as everybody else in the room? All right? So the second meeting would be, how am I different from everybody else that you've ever met in my business?
Right.
Okay, but you wouldn't have that second meeting unless you had lunch with them or a breakfast or an opportunity. So that's simply, you know, you're having so much fun with somebody, you like them so much, you decide to go play golf with them, play tennis with them, fly fish with them. But it's more of a get to know. You're making friends at this meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the purpose of the meeting coming up. It takes a while in these organizations before it becomes appropriate to ask for the business. So the best thing to do in something like this, if you can help them in any way, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for an opportunity to introduce them to somebody that they need to know. So you're looking to solve a problem for them. If there's no problem, then you're looking to just affiliate and have fun with them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep. Oh, that's good. Definitely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
The last thing you want to do is push yourself as a salesman at a meeting like this.
Right. No, I'm not.
You're
good at
not.
That anyway, so.
You wouldn't do that.
You're pretty cool during those, you know, scenarios.
So you want to be one of them, even though you're not. You may not be a donor yet. You want to become one, you know. And so that's part of the game.
All right. Good. Well, that's what I wanted to cover, that because it's coming up, and I've been having a good number of meetings and lunches, and I had a meeting this morning, and you know I've got a number of them this week with people in the circle of the these organizations, so. You know, I know it's going to take time, but I'm really pretty confident that some of these are going to pan out.
Well, I just went down, you know, anytime you're affiliating with people that have the ability to be clients.
Right.
So you got to become friends first, and then you become. People say, well, I don't do business with friends. Well, I'd say, well, I wouldn't have done business with anybody because my clients became my friends and my friends became my clients.
Right.
So, you know, that's a ridiculous statement.
No, I agree. I agree. Totally.
So you,
Ed, you know, maybe we should also, you know, before we, you know, forget, touch upon the SPLEA, because we'll likely be having that presentation before we meet again with Rob.
No, not at all. What do you want to discuss about it?
If there's, you know, any thoughts about, you know, how we go about with the presentation, since it is a very high net worth, you know, opportunity. Bringing in different, you know, arsenals within the firm, you know, if that's a good idea, do we do it on our own? you know, things of that nature.
Yeah. All right, well, we need to bring Rob up to speed on it.
Well, we have this, what is it, a $12 million opportunity, Ed?
Yeah. Yep.
Or thereabouts. Where Eddie knew the one of the members on the board, and he managed to get our hat tossed into the ring of about 10 different firms. They winnowed it down to three, of which we are one of the three, and we are going to be presenting a probably in about 2 weeks to this board our recommendations on how they are to, you know, how we would invest their money. And one of our strategies, or our strategy, or our recommendation, is to utilize one area of our fixed income department and two specific equity portfolios driven by UBS's research, in which we know, you know, quite a bit about both of those, all three of those categories and how they're run within UBS, but we could probably also get the heads of these different departments to join us on the presentation. Or is that just bringing in, you know, too many people? You know, should we just, you know, get it down ourselves and do it, or is it, or is there a wow factor with bringing in these, you know, other parties within the firm, these experts?
Who?
Yeah, what are your thoughts there, Rob?
Yeah, who is SPLEA, or what is it?
It is a it's a Society for Preserving Long Island Antiquities, like me.
It's a too late there.
Exactly. So it's a nonprofit. They've got staff. They've got a board. They have a foundation. It turns out that the person that contacted me, actually I interviewed him in 2012 to manage the foundation for the board that I sit on, which is only $2 million. And he did not get the business. He's very professional and contacted me afterwards and did a exit interview as to why he didn't. And then pretty much out of the blue, or maybe I've been in touch with him once or twice, you know, he said that they're looking, his board is looking for a new portfolio manager and you know, would I be interested in throwing my hat in the ring? I said, yeah, or I asked to throw the hat in the ring. And, you know, I made it this far, so that's where we are. Between us chickens here, I think he's rooting for us a bit because I guess I have a little bit of a rapport with him. And you know, put the presentation together. I think I have a very good solution based on what his committee is looking for. And that's it. So, you know, they went through 10 and they got it down to 3 and they're going to come up either on the 13th or the 20th and, you know, call us in to present. So, you know, this is my first day back. You know, it's obviously one of my things to contact him. One of my people to contact early this week and just touch base and see
right.
Where we're at. So you know, what any thoughts about, you know, some other people that are particularly
I
yep.
confident that you're presenting what he wants.
Yes, I am.
Why?
The reason is I have on a test basis run it by him already, okay? First of all, I guess the issue with these types of opportunities are that you always could have a curmudgeon on the committee who's just going to – doesn't like the cut of your suit or something, you know? So there are other people, but they ask – they're very price-sensitive. They want – you know, they described their allocation and they're price sensitive, and they wanted to get something done for 50 beeps. And 50 beeps on 12 million, you can do it, but, you know, they also know that there's fees for funds and stuff like that. So we have a, you know, the equity side is our individual equities managed, and the fixed income side is discretionary, so there's no principal transaction fees, and, you know, we can get it done for 50 beeps. I've already checked with the firm. But why don't you ask me what, maybe there are questions that I haven't asked that could firm that, you know, that allegation.
Who is the chairman of the finance committee?
The fellow that invited me in. His name is Howard.
Howard is the chairman of the finance committee.
Correct.
He controls.
He's heading this committee.
Yeah. He's going to control the decision. He's also in the business, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the committee that's in the business?
No.
No.
How many are on the committee? 5, counting Howard.
Okay. And they know you know this business that they're in, the Society for Preservation of Rhode Island Antiquities.
Yes, they know my ex. They know my personal resume relative to nonprofit organizations, historical societies. Okay, and because I wrote that up into a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a resume, and I believe, well, of course, they know that my, you know, that I'm experienced in the business, so they do know of my experience.
I mean, experienced in the preservation business.
Yes, they do.
All right, so you got some big legs up. You know who the other two members are?
Not the names of the firms, but I was told that they are what they call a smart beta manager.
One of them, right?
Yeah, one of them, I believe, is a smart beta manager. To double check my notes, but so, you know, Kenny's been working on it, and Chris on getting some more nuts and bolts as to exactly how smart beta managers work, or, you know, I mean, if I was presenting right now and they said, you know, we've got these smart beta managers, I would say, well, you know, I don't know if you would call us smart data, but what you could call us is common sense. Said, you know, what I do know is that if you stick with the basics, which are just quality, size, cash flow, and the things that have been around for 50 years, and companies have been around for 50 years, and whose prospects look good, they're not going to go away. You know, smart beta may be the next best thing forever, but in the 32 years I've been in business, or 33, whatever it is, I've seen smart betas come and go. I've seen black boxes. I've seen geniuses. I've seen Granvilles. I've seen Lane Garzarellis. I've seen them all. And, you know, they're all based on something that's really smart based on what's happened in the last 10, 20 years. And after all of that comes and goes, what generally survives over long periods of time is quality, is businesses, people that, you know, whatever, sell toothpaste and have been doing it for 100 years and our own real assets and have real people going up and down in the elevators and make money and send dividends out. You know, that will always be there. Smart beta may be even smarter in 5 years. I don't know, or it may be not. It may be gone. I don't know.
What is smart data, some kind of branding or something? What is it?
I think it is, well, you guys pick up on that. What have you found?
It's like a, not quite like an algorithm, but it's more of a passive strategy, but they have a set of principles. They have an objective in mind. Like, instead of taking the S&P, which is not equally weighted, they're going to have this fund that equally weights it, or they weight it based on their active share. Some characteristic that this person defines and says is an important way of looking at some existing fund or index and weights it or appropriates it differently, and it rebalances quarterly, and it's an ETF or something like that.
Yeah, it's usually always an ETF.
That is smart beta. It's a very wide term, but that's generally what it does. So it could be almost anything, but it's in vogue, that's for sure.
Yeah. It could be dumb beta in a short time.
If they got the strategy wrong or it doesn't make sense or whatever, could definitely not work out.
Right, if it makes sense now and stops making sense.
I would say, look, we can hire a smart beta firm, okay? But what you want me for is to make sure that you consistently understand and make good decisions. Helping clients to make big macro decisions is the most important thing you can do. Asset allocation is the number one determinant of performance, not smart beta, okay? Asset allocation.
Hmm.
Strong asset allocation.
Right.
And really screw your performance. All right? So you're there to help them make macro, good, solid decisions based on economics and experience and judgment. You can always hire a hot hand if you want to. And that's exactly the term I would use. You can always hire a hot hand. Okay? We can find you a hot hand. But what we found over time is what we want is consistent performance. Chasing the hot dollar, the getting the hot hand, is fun. But for this money, I don't think it's a great idea. I think for you, maybe we should, if you want to do that on your own personally, maybe that's a great idea. But for this money, where you have a fiduciary responsibility, my suggestion is good asset allocation and making sure that you're getting good value for your dollars. And we can hire great managers. That's no problem. But a hot hand? No, I don't think so. Not right now. So,
Let me ask you about the asset allocation.
Yep.
So their thought is that they said 50-50. They said, it's almost like a mandate. This is what we want is 50-50. So when I put together my proposal, I did a pretty good, it looks really good, I think. It's a 50-50 equity. I personally, if they want my opinion, 50 in equity in fixed income is not a great idea. I don't think fixed income is going to have a great 10 to 20 year track record, starting from where it is, now, even though the rates have moved up a tiny bit. And you know this, Rob, you've been in the business longer than me. So if we are on the cusp of a 30, 35 year bond cycle, which certainly is believable if you really go back and look at the history, and rates start going up, the only sensible, and I'm fully able to defend this to this board, sensible fixed income strategy is a ladder type portfolio where money will be coming due annually and you can roll it into something higher. You're not going to have to wait, like an ETF or manager or one of those things where you're going to have to wait to get your money, or hope you get your money, and you're, you know, really at best hoping to break even, in my opinion. So the allocation has been set by them. If they ask me, what is your, you know, what do you suggest as an allocation? I probably would not have said 50% in, you know, our weighting is higher than that in, you know, our asset allocations weighting is higher, I'm sorry, in the equity side. We think equities will do better than fixed income over the next, you know, 5 to 10. So, you know, how would you, you know, I don't want to point, you always run the risk of doing this where, you know, so you have a conversation. You say, "Listen, you know, smart beta could be smart. You know, it's, we could hire the hot hand at some point if you want, but we are going to give you very serious, serious thought and serious conclusions for that asset allocation, et cetera." When you know they're saying, "Here's the asset allocation, make it a 50-50, please." Do you you run the risk of saying 50-50, I don't know about that, you know, probably 65-35, maybe, if you want to be conservative, or maybe poking a stick in the eye of one of these five guys. And, you know, how do you weed that out?
Here's what I would do. I would, as best you can, you got to find out what the sacred cows are. Okay? So
find out, say it again. Find out what is?
What are the sacred cows? Okay.
Okay.
What are the things that this board has already agreed on?
Okay.
Right? And then
yep.
and then just use, I mean, because you can't go in there, like you said, and change their mind about something. So the chairman has clearly made up his mind what he wants, and probably at this point who he wants, okay? And hopefully it's you. The worst thing you can go in is go in there and contradict him. So you
need to have
either on the phone or in person and find out and just reconfirm what are the sacred cows. And what do you want to hear? You know it's 50 basis points. That's a sacred cow. You know
right.
it's 50-50. That's a sacred cow. Okay? But are they? You know, is 50 basis points for real the sacred cow, or is it 40? Or is it 45? Or is it 50? And is 50-50
right.
a sacred cow, or is that just what the board has, you know, spend some time and determine that's what they want to do. By the way, what's the cash allocation? You know, zero cash? I mean,
right,
that's
I don't know.
Always cash. How do you do proper asset allocation without a stocks, bonds, and cash? And then what about alternative investments? Is that even on the table? So I think you got to – the more you can find out from him – and it sounds like you have a relationship where you can talk.
Yes.
And the more you talk ahead of time, the more accurate your presentation can be. The worst thing to do is to contradict him or not give him what he wants. Now, once you own it, then you can work on him.
Okay. Good. He's you know, he's I got him scheduled for today or tomorrow morning, so
yeah. You know, he may
perfect timing.
Say, look, I've been trying to convince the board to do 60-40 or 70-30. If you come in and reinforce that, I would really appreciate it. You know. Or he's saying he may say, you know, if somebody comes in at 40 basis points, they're gonna win.
Yep.
So
absolutely
that stuff ahead of time. You only compete with two other guys. I wouldn't worry about the one-trick pony thing. You know, who wants to hire a one-trick pony? Because, as you know, at one point, everything, you know, junk bonds were the only thing you could buy, and And so I'd make a list
right.
of all the different past faux pas that have gone on. You know,
that's exactly what I was thinking of doing.
Yeah, here's a list of all the different hot hands that turned out to be not quite so hot, you know.
Right.
Here's, you know, option trading, option selling puts. You know, this was hot in Chicago for a long time. Everybody thought it was the only way to go. It crashed. You know, here's, you know, milk them.
Yeah, I mean, if they find something unique, the market generally squeezes out the efficiencies. That's the way it is. It's just, you know, I don't know if these guys are going to grab that, but that's reality. It gets crowded, and it's not as – it doesn't work as well.
Well, how about long-term capital, right? That was the only way to go. Everybody, how about Bernie Madoff? Everybody invested in that. That was easy. So, I mean, come on. There's hiring some experience and some wisdom is going to supersede a hot hand every time to me. In fact, I protected my board from so many crap, so many stupid things that came along that it was unbelievable. Now, did we do some things?
Yeah.
You know, we weren't just absolute idiots, but we avoided Bernie Madoff. We avoided, you know, some of these bank loans that, you know, looked like they were a great idea, you know. Leverage bond funds, you know.
Yep.
The guy'd come in and present leverage bond funds and think that's a, I said, yeah, that's great, except when interest rates go against you and then you're screwed. You know, even tips. I never wanted tips because I said, look, we'll buy tips when inflation starts up, you know. And here that's 20 years later and people are still owning tips. I mean, to me that's...
Yeah, not making money.
Not making money. Yeah. And you're right. Why would I go into long-term bonds in any volume when the probabilities are really strong that in the next 5 years we're going to have higher interest rates? I mean, that would be nuts.
Yep.
So I own long-term bonds because I bought munis at 5.5% and 6% during the crisis. That's the only reason I own long-term bonds. But
and they're probably not that long when you look at their calls.
No, I know. But with cash today, would I go out and buy a 30-year, you know, treasury or something? No way.
Yeah.
No. So I'd rather
Good.
I'd rather own 4%, you know, wonderful companies that are paying, you know, 3%, 2%, 4%, but are going to raise their dividends. Or buy some preferred stocks, you know, convertible preferreds or something. You know, I get stuck in a guaranteed bear market?
No. That's a good way of putting it. Exactly. Good.
You know,
well,
so they
I'm
can
psyched.
Make a lot of
I'm
money
psyched.
In there. In their equities and get killed in their bond fund, you know, and
right.
they think that they're buying that for safety, and in fact, I'd rather see them in cash.
I definitely agree with you. You know, the whole team does. We've been talking like that for a while. Now we've sounded, you know, like erroneous broken records for a while, but I know it's going to happen. It will happen. So
yeah, I mean, you don't have to own. Zero bonds. I mean, I own some bonds, but it's because I was fortunate to buy them at a good price. And even today, I might go out with some bonds. So I'd go 20% bonds. I'd rather see 20% in a high yield, you know, not oil and not LPMs or whatever those things are. I want to own,
right.
you know, good companies that raise their dividends, that aren't in a commodity, that I don't have to worry about, you know, no REITs.
Right.
I'm very conservative. I'm very aggressive portfolio manager for myself, but I'm very conservative with my income because I think the income side of it is the place where people get clobbered the worst.
It's definitely... Yeah, because it's rather perverse because of the negative correlation between prices and rates. So as prices start to deteriorate, they look more attractive to investors because rates are higher.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's why they buy these, you know, bonds, the stocks that are paying 11% about to cut their dividends. You know, they're like, hey, well, it pays 11%.
Right.
Well, good. I think.
Right. It takes patience and you know, and being right on the industry and right on the – you've got a massive economic going on right now. You get on the wrong side of that thing. You can buy all the, you know – retail, you know, buy all these retail stocks, and they're paying big dividends now, but they've got problems, you know. So I'm not a big guy on going in and buying value stocks that are heading south, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, that's – so I think you've got a – you know, you've got a good argument, but your key is to figure out what are the sacred cows and what is
that's
he
a good
really –
point.
You know, if you can find out what he wants to hear – and then present the service model. Nobody else is going to talk about service. So, and you're going to do your 12-4-2s with the, and so give him his folder at the meeting that you're going to have with him and say, look, if you hire us, this is what we will do, 12-4-2 with you, okay, as the chairman. And then four of those reviews will be in person.
Yeah.
Right, to the whole board. But we're going to talk to you every month. Every month. And nobody
else is. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well,
Chris, Ken, you have anything that you wanted to cover?
No. No, just soaking up knowledge.
Did you learn something?
Yeah.
Two old guys talking about the truth. You know, it's
about business.
Yeah. 45 years of experience now for me. So I've seen I've seen you, Ed. You know, we've seen it. We've seen a lot, and we should get credit.
Yeah, between the two of us, it's close to 80. Jesus.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too many people
that's
that have actually been through all these things and can talk about them. And
yeah.
You know,
as an eyewitness.
Right. And you probably don't, you're not going to bring up those things in your presentation, but in talking to him about it, he'll relate to what we're, he's going to, if he's in the business and he's a good guy, he's going to hear it and understand what you're talking about. You really only have to sell him. If you've sold him before you go into that presentation, you've got the presentation. The rest of the audience is going to defer to him because he's in the business. And unless there's somebody else in the business or a banker or a CPA, you're not really going to get a lot of questions. CPA might ask a few questions about this or that. But other than that, the guys are just, you know, they're there to not screw it up, you know.
Yep. Excellent. I've got to get running because I have to get up. I have a meeting. Yeah, we'll follow up with you for sure.
Yeah, I love the case studies, and if you want to email me questions like that, I'm always happy to answer them. And text me or email me; I'm happy to follow up. So, great to
dynamite. I might do that as I'm walking in.
Yeah. You know, let me give you my cell phone so you can text me. 317-418-8624.
Okay. Cool. Thank you very much.
That's everybody on the team. Happy to do it. Texts are quick and fast.
Okay.
I get back right away. Okay? All right, guys.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
All righty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye. I'm going to call you guys in a second, all right?
All right.